Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Robbie Garvigal of Olami 613 Chicago with a live studio audience. Yes, the live studio audience is back. The live studio audience was a critical part of our whole podcast tonight, getting Mr. Motivator off the couch himself to tape and record this session. So a big shout out to the live studio audience.
Yeah!
All right. So, okay, we have lots going on this week. Let's take care of some business. First of all, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear dad. Happy birthday to you. Yes, it is my father's birthday, August 25th. Born 1820. No, that was much later than that. Anyway, my father, big shout out to you for everything you do. The ultimate caretaker, takes care of everyone and makes sure everything is done well and that everyone's needs are taken care of. Really, really amazing. What a great father. Blessed to have a grandfather and a great grandfather as well, four times over. And sometimes we like to speak. Anyway, mom doesn't like that. But anyway, great granddaddy, we want to wish you a very, very happy birthday. We say ad mea v'isrim until 120. Vinomar, amen. Let us all say amen. In addition, would like to thank Chaim and Liel and Esther Shalva Weil for sponsoring this week's podcast. Thank you so much. We're so proud of you coming back into Chicago from an entire academic year of learning in yeshiva in the Shar. Kol hakavod. It is amazing. We love it. It is great. Like, wow. So amazing. Can you imagine? This is what every young couple needs to do. They need to take a year and say, wow, we're going to invest in our spiritual growth as individuals and as a family. So you're really role models for everyone. Thank you so much for your sponsorship. And a shout out to your beautiful, wonderful families. All right. I think that could be all that's going on. One last thing. Again, we are having a very special launch party on September 3rd, Wednesday. And we are launching something very exciting. And if you've been listening to the intro to the podcast, it might give you a little clue. But we are certainly excited about everything that's coming up in our Jewish outreach efforts. All right, I think that is. So let's dive into this past week's Parsha with actually right at the very beginning of the Parsha. The beginning of the Torah portion says it was Parsha's Re'eh. Re'eh means look, see. And it says, Hashem says, through Moshe, on chapter 11, verse 26, says, Re'eh, Anochi nosein livnechem hayom bracha v'klala. It says, take a peek. Look, I, Hashem, nosein livnechem hayom. I'm putting in front of you guys bracha uklala, blessing and curse. Okay, it goes on to delineate that the blessing is that you'll listen to Hashem and things will go great. And the klala, the curse, is if perchance it happens that the Jewish people do not listen, and not only the Jewish people, us individually as well, do not listen, then that is when we bring negativity and curse into our lives. And so the commentators are puzzled by a very unique and fascinating facet of this pasuk, of this verse. Re'eh. So we'll do a little bit of Hebrew grammar. This is okay. We will do it together. It will not be complicated. You do not need to be Israeli to know how to do this. But it begins Re'eh. Re'eh is singular. In English, we don't really have a difference between singular and plural, but in certain Romance languages like French, there is tu and vous. Tu is singular and vous is plural, you. And in Hebrew also as well, re'eh is singular. You shall see. Imperative. I know I'm throwing all these grammar terms out here. Imperative is command form. So you singular should look. Imperative. Look is a command, a directive, as opposed to re'u. Re'u would be the plural form. So it says re'eh, you individual person. Anochi nosein lifneichem. I am putting in front of you, plural, not lefanecha, which is what would be consistent. And it's lifneichem. I'm putting in front of you, bracha uklala. So many, 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 many different commentators and comments on this. I'd like to share with you one of them. In other words, God knows grammar. He knows grammar at least as well as we do. And Moshe also knows grammar. And so therefore, if there are tenses that don't line up, or for here, like a singular and a plural, that they would not be in the same sentence, or they shouldn't be put together, then they know grammar. God and Moses know grammar. So obviously it's trying to tell us a message. Okay? And so what is the message? Many of them, I'll share with you one. Re'eh, anochi nosein lifneichem hayom. Behold, you individual, I am seeing in front, I'm placing in front of you today blessing and curse. Many times we think that what are my actions? What does it matter? It's a big world out there. There's 8 billion people on planet Earth. And what in the world does it make a difference? What I do? Are my actions significant? Do they play a role in the cosmic unfolding of Jewish and world history? And this verse says, oh yes, they do. Because re'eh, you individual, singular, anochi nosein lifneichem, I'm placing in front of you, plural, bracha uklala. Depending on our individual decisions, we will have an impact on the entire Jewish people and in the entire world for blessing or for curse. It's not just, I am going to do my thing, as people say. I'm going to just do my thing and go on my own. And that's, you know, that's my thing. I have my little island. And no, it's that our actions fundamentally are inextricably linked to the entire moral balance of the Jewish people and the entire world. And that is exciting stuff. That is amazing. That means that everyone can get off the couch and stop be depressed. Why? Because my actions matter. I am not just a cog in some cosmic wheel. I am a divine soul brought down to this earth, and my decisions to overcome negativity, to overcome this curse, is a divine call and a fulfillment of a larger purpose. And therefore, my deeds matter. And now the commentators then go further and say, but why does Hashem couch this language in terms of re'eh, in terms of seeing? See, I've placed in front of you bracha uklala. Just, why doesn't it just say, you know, there's bracha and klala there, and do the bracha thing and don't do the klala thing? You know, do the blessing stuff and leave behind the curse stuff. Do good. Because fundamentally, what the Torah is teaching us is absolutely fundamental of how to live a life of blessing. And that is to see the blessing. That is to see the good. That is to see the good in ourselves. That is to see the good in others. That is to see the good in the world. And I'd like to, on this concept, go through really what the Chovas HaLevavos, one of the great rabbis of the Golden Age of Spain about 800 years ago, one of his major sections of his magnum opus called the Chovas HaLevavos, the Duties of the Heart, is in the second shar, the second gateway. He calls it, there's 10 gateways, and it's called Shara Bechina. Shara Bechina. Bechina means of analysis. And he goes through and he says, It is our job to be able to analyze, to see, to look at nature, the regular things around us, and from there, we will see the direct handiwork of the Almighty. And we will then begin to appreciate, we will have what he calls hakara, we'll recognize it, and then we will have hakaras hato, we'll recognize the good that Hashem does with us. We'll be so overwhelmed by the billions and trillions of kindnesses that the Almighty does for us that we will be inspired to serve the Almighty. Now, basically, he goes through and he says, why do people get this wrong? Why don't we all go around and look at the beautiful chlorophyll in the leaves and realize that there is literally billions of chlorophyll factories on a tree, possibly more, and they allow for this unbelievable transformation that happens that feeds the tree and gives off oxygen for people to breathe. Isn't that an unbelievable thing? And by the way, we human beings breathe out carbon dioxide, at least one of the things, and the trees use that. It's called a symbiotic relationship. Isn't that cool? Wow, what an unbelievable world. What prevents us from recognizing that unbelievable kindness that Hashem planted in the world? And he says an unbelievable thing. He says, because there's such a long gap from when we grow up to the point where our minds mature that we can actually appreciate it. In other words, a baby cannot appreciate, wow, mother's milk is lovely and warm and just delightful and has all these nutrients in it. Oh my goodness, let me thank the Almighty, right? A baby can't do that. And then the 5-year-old kid and the 10-year-old kid. And then eventually we become old people and we've never been trained in appreciating the goodnesses around us. And so therefore he goes through as a religious exercise that we need to train our vision to see the blessings that Hashem is giving us all the time. And he goes through all sorts of aspects of nature. And there's a great rabbi of this past generation. He died in 2001, and actually I think has become much bigger even after his death than during his death, than during his life, excuse me, is Rev Avigdor Miller. Rev Avigdor Miller, Zatzal of blessed memory, it's really focused on this, really focused on the incredible bounty that is in nature, that is in us. And he says, you know, we should really go through every part of our body. And he says, do you know what it is like to use the restroom? He talks about someone in his synagogue who can't go to the restroom and needs dialysis. He says, how much money would that person give to be able to go to the bathroom? Normally, how much money? Says another person, right? You walk down the street and you see someone with a cane. He's blind and he's tap, tap, tapping. How much money would he give to a doctor to be able to have a surgery to see again? And we wake up every day with these two cameras firmly lodged in our head that can see light. And if we appreciated light and actually think about it, it's unbelievable. The property of light that it can bounce off an object and then those light rays go into our eyes and then somehow our brain is going to translate that into an image that we all recognize the same way. How literally, it's like the image is traveling on the light waves. It's pretty cool. And of course, I mentioned before, one of my students, University of Chicago, brilliant, right, PhD, biophysics, that they have said that they literally have absolutely zero idea how color vision works in the brain. I mean, they, once it gets to the eye, they know how it gets to the eye, but once it gets into the eye and goes to the brain, they have no idea, literally no idea how the brain makes color vision. And there's also other things like seeds. Did you ever think about the seeds, right? We eat an apple, we throw it away. We eat a peach, we throw it away. But it's actually an unbelievable thing. Avigdor Miller was very famous for saying that it is very easy to count the seeds in an apple, but it is impossible to count the apples in the seeds. Because if you plant those seeds rot in the ground and then sprout. Now, what's very interesting is it's not just a code. It's not just a computer program that's sent somewhere else to do it. It has the code and the factory in of itself. That seed itself has the code that teaches and instructs this little tiny seed to make an apple tree with thousands of apples, which can then create thousands more trees. Okay, the mighty redwoods where I grew up came from one little seed. It is absolutely unbelievable. And it's not just that it has the information. It has the actual factory in it. And we don't think about it. And then we talk about pollination of, you know, bees going from one place to the next and all sorts of insects and other things. And then you talk about the actual dandelion, which is one of the most advanced parachutes designs in the world. And it still keeps its shape and function even when it gets wet. And those little maple helicopter type leaves that the pit is on one side, and so therefore it goes around like a boomerang and therefore can fly off to be able to plant seeds everywhere. It is absolutely unbelievable. You know, you talk about a plum pit. A plum pit is one of the strongest pits. You absolutely, even with a hammer, you can't break it. But it just so happens when you put the plum pit in the ground, the enzymes that, and the bacteria in the ground eat away at the glue that is keeping the plum pit together. And then the seed inside of the pit is able to grow. Wow. Is that unbelievable? Is that incredible? And now we go even into the human body, the lungs, what's going on the lungs with thousands of alveoli and the transition and the transfer and the oxygen and then going the blood and then getting reoxygenated. Go on and on and on. And we haven't even touched the molecular level of what is it? Every single cell has the entire genetic code of the entire human being. And yet 99.9999999% of that is not lit up in that cell. Only the parts of the DNA that are needed for that cell are activated. And they know this. And it's absolutely unbelievable. You have DNA literally unzipping, and the tRNA and the mRNA and there's literally like zipping and unzipping and making amino acids that come into proteins, and they're sending it off. And if we had to give instructions, there's no way we could even give instructions. We don't even know how all this works. And then we haven't even talked about cascade reactions. What's a cascade reaction? Cascade reaction is like blood clotting. There's like, I don't know exactly, 20 different steps. One after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next. And if one of them does not work, the whole thing is done. Hemophiliacs cannot create this cascade reaction and sadly die whenever they bleed. They literally, your blood cannot clot. And so all of these things, look at how wealthy we are. How much would a hemophiliac give in order to be able to have blood that clots? And there's wealth all around us. That is the re'eh. We just got used to getting everything from a young age. It's not our fault. But we need to train ourselves to see the good. That is the real blessing. That is the real blessing that the Torah is teaching us, to live a life of re'eh, of seeing the blessing and being grateful. And we just scratch the surface. We could go on with fruits and vegetables forever. We could go on with body parts forever. And then we haven't even touched about the human beings in our lives. How grateful we are for our spouses. How grateful we are for our children, our grandchildren, for our coworkers, for people who may not be so easy all the time. But re'eh, I'm going to see what Rev Elimelech Milizhensk has Lizhensk says, a great Hasidic master, says, I'm going to see Malas Chavarinu. He had a prayer in the morning that he would see the best parts of his friends and not the worst parts. So which one's true, Rabbi? Which reality is true? The reality of what you see, what we choose to see. That is the reality that we will live in. And that is the demand, the exhortation, the challenge that the Torah is telling us. Re'eh, see, I have two pathways of how to live life. I have two pathways, blessing and curse. And it's up to you. It's up to us to choose. God bless. Have an amazing week. And I just want to encourage all of us, implement one look at least once a day for something that we take for granted. Look at something, someone who's sick, and be thankful that we have that body part working. Before we bite into that apple, think of the miracles that happen. And when we take a breath, the miracles of the lungs, one thing per day, and focus on it. And God willing, we will train ourselves in this positive way of living a life of blessing. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.